It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
It is the Drive Brouhaha, the Hop Monk Brouhaha. Mark Carpenter and Herlinda are here, and it's just the two of them today, and Mark's going to give us some background. I love your background, and we haven't done that in quite a while. And you're going to talk about some special Sonoma County beers, right?
Well, First of all, you know, I always like to open the show with a beer, and today I have my new favorite beer. This is from Hen House, and
yeah, they're doing a great job.
It's really an impressive beer. I think it's wonderful aroma. It's an IPA. But it's not a very highly hopped IPA. I don't know what the IBUs is, but I would say it falls into the lower range of the IPAs.
Oh, the nose is
Isn't
great.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's just an outstanding beer. It's called Hollow Moon, and it's 6.7 alcohol by volume.
Reasonable.
It's got Sriracha Ace and Mosaic hops. Sriracha Ace, I believe, is a Japanese hop.
It's from Sapporo. Originally, actually, was using it as well.
Mark also has a train whistle for his ringtone on his phone. There,
you like the yeast in this? It's called Conan yeast.
I really do like this.
Yeah, it's a nice, very nice beer. And one of the things that I really found appealing about it, I was reading about it, and they actually put an age on it, which I think is terrific. Because
really?
Beer is, the fresher
so
beer
like
is the better for the most.
Or is it an expiration date?
Expiration date. They want you to drink it within 21 days.
Really?
And it's a hazy beer, so I assume that there's probably some yeast in there. And there's probably a lot of proteins in there, so if you leave it a long time, those proteins will come together and form a sediment, and then you pour it out, and people say, "Oh my God, what is this?" You know, but completely harmless, by the way, if it did happen,
it just wouldn't taste as good.
It may not, but this is I love it that they put the date on there, and it's. It's just a delicious beer.
Didn't Coors or somebody used to, for a while, they were doing date fresh?
Yes, I think a few have tried. When I was a kid, there was Lucky Lager had age-dated beer.
Oh, we used to call Lucky Lager Green Death.
There you go, yeah.
This is part of their conspiracy instead of conspiracy. I wonder where that's all coming from. Contemporary-style can series of beers.
So. Are these only in cans, this particular
yes.
beer?
Well, I don't know if it's on keg as well, but...
Well, it's probably at Hen House.
Yes.
For sure, and probably a few of their outlets. But I looked at the date on mine that I got today at Willoughby's, and it's 227, so it's just a couple days old. It's just nice and fresh.
It was released Tuesday.
Yeah.
Super fresh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a great beer.
Some
beers my
are
compliments
better aged.
To the Hen House guys.
Yeah, some beers are better aged, like barrel aged, and like, you know, some of the porters and things that are barrel aged, but then you get something super fresh like this. And then what makes the difference between whether it's going to age well and whether it needs to be drunk fresh?
I think that if a beer is going to age, it's got to be highly hopped, it's got to be high in alcohol, and then might age well, but beer is generally you want it fresh, you know.
Yeah, because I've got some like barrel aged, you know, like bourbon barrel aged that's been sitting for like Hill Farmstead just released something that's been aging for a year.
Yeah,
and people line up for it.
Yeah.
So, but we were going to talk about German. Not versus British styles, because we don't want to say they're competing, but German and British styles. Cause,
what's the true difference? We mentioned it last week just briefly, and so I'll be happy to give you a little more explanation on what the difference is. And this, when we talk about these styles, they honestly don't go back that far. It's really kind of the mid-1800s, because before that, there was all ales, even in Germany, you know. But it wasn't until they developed the bottom fermenting yeast that you had these more modern beers.
So the bottom fermenting yeast is the lager yeast.
Correct.
The top fermenting yeast is the ales.
Correct.
And that has to do with temperatures as well?
No, not really. The lagers, the bottom fermenting yeast can take colder temperatures, yes.
Okay.
But the... I think the main thing to keep in mind is Both these methods are designed to give you a nice, clear beer when you drink it. But it's, they really have two different approaches. The Germans, they make their beer, they boil it, and then they put it in a cellar tank. And in most cases, they go through a second fermentation, and they let it sit down there for weeks or months even. And during that time, the haze that we see in this hen house would then settle out to the bottom of the tank. And so the beer would become clear. Then they can bottle it or keg it.
So they empty the bottom part of the yeast, like when you're doing the turkey baster that has the fat on the bottom. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're like, you put the turkey gravy and you let it sit, and then the fat goes to like one side, and then you
empty. I love that look. I love fat.
Yeah. So the yeast is heavier.
Meat fat, my favorite. Yeah.
Actually, yes. I'm going to – oh, we want to preface this also with – I'm going to England next week to judge the British Pie Awards again.
Of course you are.
And I'm going to Scotland. I'm getting to go learning about their distilling there, which Mark has been to Scotland. And Mark's going to Mexico.
Yep. I'm going to Mexico for a week to visit
totally
a friend. And
the timing's perfect because I'm going to Cattati.
There's some good beer.
Right on, brother.
It is the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha, brought to you in part by Willoughby's. Mark Carpenter is here, and her Linda, of course. Let me ask about, since you're talking about German versus British, the IPA thing started when England was in India.
Correct.
And they couldn't get any beer that they liked in India, the soldiers. And so somehow, explain that story. Okay. It's fascinating.
The idea with IPA is, yes, Britain was in India. They had a lot of people there.
That's why it's called India Pale Ale.
Correct. And so a couple London brewers, and the original guy escapes me right now. Anyway, he made a very highly hopped ale.
Thornbridge?
No.
No.
But he made a very highly hopped ale that he thought could make it to India. But it still had to sit in England for about a year or more while the fermentation was completed.
Really?
Yeah, because if they didn't get all the carbonation out of the kegs, these kegs stood the chance of exploding in the hold of the ship, and then your cargo's lost.
Wow.
So they sat around England for a long time, so you had to have all these hops so the beer would last.
Was this like the 1800s?
Yes.
Okay.
So this beer had to be horrible. I mean, I would love to go have a time machine and go back and go to India in this warm environment, this beer that's over a year old arrives. But you were so hurting for beer, you know.
So there was no beer in India?
Well, you know, I don't know the history of setting up breweries in India. They certainly must have done it as soon as they could. You know, this had to be, it had to be kind of like steam beer in California. As soon as they could make lager beer, they set up breweries and did. And in India, they must have, as soon as refrigeration was invented, they had set up breweries and brewed in India.
Yeah.
So this had to be, you know, just a short-lived thing before refrigeration. They could probably pack down ice from the Himalayas. I don't know. But but nevertheless, it's a true story. They shipped this beer from England that had to be pretty old.
And the British soldiers just were so thirsty for any beer that they said,
I think that's it. I think that's it.
This tastes like crap, but it's beer.
It's our crap.
Yeah.
And the higher ranking officers got what became gin and had the quinine for preventing malaria.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
And then I used to drink a lot of gin because I just knew I was going to get malaria.
That's it. And it worked. You don't have malaria?
No, I never did.
Yeah.
All righty. It's the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha, brought to you in part by Willoughby's. They're doing some tastings. Willoughby's is amazing. They're going to get them back in soon. Mark, let's start with you just talking, because you were there today,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was there this morning, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the guy's name who helped me, but I said, look, I need a couple Sonoma County beers. He took me right over. He pointed out everything he had. It's just a great, knowledgeable crowd, you know, in there. And so
that was the Petaluma store, right?
Petaluma store.
Yeah.
Yep. And now they're in Santa Rosa, too.
Yep. Yeah. Right across from the train station, so if you need a beer for the train.
Train beer.
Yeah, right.
Santa Rosa, which is right downtown, kind of near like the Barnes & Noble and 3rd Street at Elbrook's, they do tastings like almost every day of the week, but for sure every Thursday Friday and Saturday. So tonight, right now, they're doing a Champagne Piper Heidsieck tasting. They call it Tasty Thursdays. Yeah, I know. I might have to go. I thought I wasn't going to drink till I went to England, but that might not happen. Then tomorrow they're doing a Nuke Alchemy gin tasting at 5 p.m. on Friday. So it's a great way to do a happy hour after work with your friends. And then also tomorrow at 5 p.m. they're doing a use of hops kind of seminar in different beers. And then Mario is going to be teaching that. And then and on Saturday, let's see, actually on March 8th next week, they're doing Hearst Winery, which is actually the vineyards that are at the Hearst Castle type of and the land that they own. So it's a Hearst Winery tasting next week.
Is that hosted by Patty?
Yeah.
I've just been watching the CNN Patty Hearst.
It's pretty good.
We'll see if
it's
she's like rallying about gun control or not. I've been watching that too. That's
yeah, it's
cool.
Fascinating.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great place to go, you know, Saturday, Friday, Thursday. It's only $5 for the tasting. And then if you buy something, they take that off of it.
Wow.
I know.
Willoughby's on 3rd Street.
Yeah.
They have sandwiches
downtown.
And food and snacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's such a cool place.
Yeah.
And we're proud to have them as a sponsor of the Drive Brouhaha. Mark, you have some more stuff to add about British beer?
Yeah. Basically, the German beer is a long, slow process, cold temperature, to wind up with a nice, clean beer at the bar. Mm. The English, completely different. It's all very quickly done.
Really?
It's 7 days from the brewery to the bar.
And they don't have a lot of patience there.
That's it. That's it. They have actually a very good method. If you want to open a small brewery, much easier to do in England than here because you don't need a lot of the equipment that you need here.
Really?
But anyway, the quick rundown is they brew the beer, they put it in a fermenter, and from the fermenter they go right to the keg or cask, and there's no holding time in a cellar.
So it comes out great, right?
Well, in the kettle they add Irish moss, which is a seaweed, and that helps get the protein out of the beer, which is going to help make a bright beer. And now when they go to the cask, as we were talking about with Charlie Bamford last week, that's where they add the icing glass, the protein that will help get out the rest
right.
of the haze.
Yeah, we talked about
And then, not only that, they have the pub owner is part of the brewing process. And so he has to carefully treat the keg when it arrives at his place, because the traditional English customer, if you have a hazy beer, they won't take it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, is it true, we've always heard that in England, they like their beer warm or not cold?
They say that. They drink warm beer in England. But you have to keep in mind, they refrigerate the entire country.
I mean, that is just so weird to us, Americans.
It's room temperature beer.
And it's a cold room.
Okay. And so the beer itself it's not warm. The beer itself will probably be in the high 40s, low 50s.
Oh.
But you're in a room that's in the 60s. So believe me, you don't need I've always felt you have to
That's
drink
too warm for me. Yeah. I like mine. The studio here is like 36.
There you go.
So you'd actually store German beer here really well.
The Germans drink it cold, don't they?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, if you go to a warm climate, they drink cold beer.
Right.
If you go to a cool climate like England, they drink room temperature beer.
Wow.
So I believe it's just any beer you serve at the temperature that you feel good about. It's funny with pardon me. It's funny that in the UK they serve Guinness cold. They have refrigeration for Guinness in the bars in the UK.
Really?
But if you have it here, so many of the bars that say, you have to have it at room temperature.
That is weird, man.
It is.
But
it is.
Beer's less carbonated also that coming out of the cask or the firkins, right? What's the difference between a cask and a firkin?
Size.
Okay.
Yeah.
Size matters. I'm going to tell you that.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Little hands.
That's it. So the English beers are far less carbonated because they don't go through a second fermentation. Mm. So the CO2 is lost, and they try to actually go out of their way to leave the cask open as they're taking the beer off so the carbonation goes away. The British will say, you Americans, you like those gassy beers.
Yes.
Gassy beers.
Yeah, they call it. I love it. You like those gassy beers.
What do they think about? Well, the things are changing, and we've talked about this on the show before. As far as, say, in England or even Germany, they're starting, as you pointed out, Mark, before.
Yes.
They're into American craft beers.
Oh, they are.
Big time.
Are they changing their...
All the news... Charlie Bamforth mentioned that there's something like 2,000 breweries in the UK now. But I asked him off the air, well, what was that 10 years ago? He said, it would have been 600. Because they're going through the same thing we are here, that all these new breweries are starting up, and all these new breweries are making American-style beers. He mentioned Beavertown, you know.
Yep, Logan,
Beavertown's all making American-style beers, American-style IPAs.
Is that Logan Plant's?
Yep.
Robert Plant's
I'm going to bring some back when I come
back. Hey, Louie's back.
I know, I love
Hi, Louie.
They actually
Louie's a dog,
bring,
folks.
I'm going to bring some Pliny the Elder with me, some gifts to England and to Scotland with me. And I'm going to... You know what? The only bad thing when I travel with cans is that they split.
Really?
Bottles I never have a problem with. I wrap them up well. They don't explode or anything. But the seams on cans split with the
altitude,
pressure.
Oh, the altitude, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I've had some major problems
explosions.
With my, you know, what do you call the thing that you put all your, men put their...
I'm afraid to ask.
I have to go lie down.
I've had that same problem.
Shaving kit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I've had stuff explode in a shaving kit.
Yeah, the seams can cut between the altitude and the seams.
Oh,
I don't
thanks
know.
For warning me.
Yeah, glass does much better. So, but let's talk about Germany, because you and I have both been to England and also to Germany.
We have 2 minutes.
So Rheinheitsgebot as well.
Yes.
As
the Rheinheitsgebot is in Bavaria, King of Bavaria, and I forget the year, 15-something, I believe.
15,
He said,
16.
First food law, he said, beer can only be made of barley and water and hops. And he did not even allow for yeast. You know, they always say it's barley, hop, water, and yeast. But he didn't even know at that time yeast was making the beer.
Was the beer any good?
Yeah, I'm sure the beer was very good, you know, because these guys made it all the time, you know.
It was like wild, just like yeast that were in
the
air,
No, they probably
right?
collected the yeast, but they just somehow, they just didn't really put it together. The yeast was doing that, you know. They would throw the remnants from the last brew into the new brew, you know.
Mm. Really?
And because they would see it would get going faster, you know.
Kind of like sourdough. Like you save some starter and you add a little bit.
Yeah,
you
have to have the starter. Yeah.
And so the first pure food law that they weren't allowing anything in it. And that's actually hurt the German brewers in Bavaria these days, because these young kids who are starting these breweries want to put everything in just like the American brewers. You know?
Yeah, wow. It's still actually a law. They just had the 500-year anniversary. But now they're hoping they're going to relax it a little bit so they can start putting more.
Didn't we just have our 500-year anniversary at KSRO? No, that was 80 years. All right. I just got the one-minute signal, which is now down to 30 seconds. Quickly, you guys are both heading to Europe?
I'm going to be braving the beast from the east snowstorm in London, and hopefully I can get there, and then going to Scotland. I'm judging the British Pie Awards.
Of course you are. You always do. Mark?
And I'll be with a great friend in Mexico for a few days.
Oh, that's right. You told
Warm.
Me that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, have a great Thursday night. We got a short show tomorrow, Warriors at 4. Good night.